So the series is titled Faith Foundations. And I'm going to continue with reading the Ten Commandments that we started to read in the first part of the service. So we're continuing with Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 17. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Well, the Ten Commandments have been rather difficult for children's Sunday school teachers to translate into children's language. A third grade Sunday school teacher was particularly uneasy with a lesson about the Ten Commandments. And she read, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And then she asked her class, "What is adultery?" A young boy answered matter-of-factly, "Adultery is when a kid lies about his age." One Sunday school teacher asked her class if they knew what the last commandment was. One little girl proudly spoke up and said, "Thou shalt not take off the covers of your neighbor's wife." And then, of course, there is that central commandment for children, which one boy summarized as, "Humor thy father and mother." A little easier, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that just about every religion has rules? Christians have rules. We, of course, have the Ten Commandments, which we just read, which initially came about 1446 BC. Then there's another 613 commands in the Torah. That's the first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures. And then Jesus gave us a couple of rules. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then, if that wasn't enough, churches over the last 2,000 years have also created rules. That's a lot of rules. It's hard to keep track of all those rules. And I would just guess that some of us would probably have a difficult time just naming the Ten Commandments. I don't know, maybe, do you think you could name more than four or five? Of course, it does help that we just read them to you, right? Or maybe not. Some rules made up by Christians, by the way, can seem silly. I don't know if you've ever wondered how the ice cream sundae got its name. The year was 1875, and the ice cream soda was a year old, and it was growing rapidly. However, in Evanston, Illinois, the elders of a Methodist church were not happy with the ice cream soda. Some church leaders believed that soda water or carbonated water might be intoxicating. So they pressured the community leaders to make a law that prohibited selling those sodas on Sundays because they might be corrupting. The town was shocked by the banning of ice cream sodas. The W.C. Garwood's drugstore, it was worse than shocking because suddenly business went down dramatically. And the soda place was kind of like a gathering point for the community. So to get around the law, a creative fountain clerk started to serve several scoops of ice cream and dribbled some syrup over the top. Yes, the soda minus the soda water. And these soda-less sodas were called Sunday sodas. You want to put that wording up on the screen? They were called Sunday, just like Sunday morning, Sunday sodas. And since there was no soda water, they were legal. However, they became so popular that people began to order them all throughout the week. The church elders became upset because this time they'd been outwitted. So in an attempt to have the last word, they raised objections that the soda was named after the Sabbath. Again, creativity stepped in, and the spelling was altered to, you want to put it up on the screen? Sunday soda. That's why it's now spelled ice cream sundae without the Y. Did you have any idea that all that came about because of somebody trying to live by the law about the Sabbath? Sounds silly, doesn't it? But that's how our rules get sometimes. So why are rules a part of religion? Well, rules are established when we are in relationship with one another. They are established so we can live together and we can get along. They're a sign of a covenant that happens in a relationship. For example, when you were born into a family, you took on the rules of that family. You ever notice that? Your parents set the rules for you. When I was a child, my parents said, no lying. Eat all the food on your plate. Your bedtime is at 9:30 p.m. Do your homework. And by the way, I didn't have any input into the rules. They were just given. My parents didn't want my opinion, although I have to tell you, when I was a teenager, I gave them my opinion. But it do any good? No, it didn't do any good. You had that experience too, didn't you? They just created the rules without my permission. Well, since I was part of a family, I had to live by the rules. But did you ever notice that other families have different rules? And sometimes you'd like to give those families your rules from your family because you think those kids need it. But then you realize what? My rules are for my family. And I can't use my rules in their family. They have their own rules for their family, or maybe not. Rules are a way that we live in relationship with one another. And the rules in my family are different maybe from yours. For example, when I was growing up, my friend's parents let their children ride small motorcycles on the trails around their houses. They were called dirt bikes. You want to put that image up there? And some of my close friends had extra dirt bikes that I could ride. Unfortunately, my parents' rule said, no riding dirt bikes. But I have to tell you, I was a long way away from home. And the temptation was great. Some of you are laughing because you did the same thing. And so I rode those dirt bikes frequently with my friends. Until one day I got caught. You ever notice that always happens? And it was made clear that our family did not ride dirt bikes. Okay. I argue with my parents. I mean, my friend Pete and my friend Tim, they get to ride dirt bikes. Their parents allow them to ride dirt bikes. I should be able to ride dirt bikes as well. I mean, why do I have to live by these rules? And you know how my parents answered, right? Because I said so. This was the family rule. So when you're in a family, you have to live by the rules. And I didn't have a choice as a child. They were the rules, and that's who we are. But by the way, that's not how it works with all groups. For example, sometimes when you join a group, you get told the rules up front, and you can decide to join or not. And that's different. For example, some businesses require an employee, a new employee, to sign an NDA before they can go to work for that company. A non-disclosure agreement. A legally binding contract that says if you tell anybody about what you're doing in this company, especially to our competitors, we can sue you and we can collect money for damages. And you have a choice. You abide by that rule or not, because that will decide whether you work for that company or not. Service organizations like Rotary have rules like that. You decide whether you're going to abide by the rules. HOAs. I remember when I bought my house in Gold Canyon about 21 years ago. They had us read through the HOA rules before we signed that contract. And we were told we had to live by those rules or move out. Some HOAs let you do whatever you want. Some HOAs are extremely strict. And they fine you for anything that you do that breaks the rules. By the way, we were once cited for leaving our trash can out at the curb on a non-trash can day. You got to do this too. She's up there going, are you on an HOA board? I won't even ask. Recently, our HOA even had a meeting about could we put utility trailers in the side yard as long as they were below the height of the fence and you couldn't see them from the street. And the HOA said, no, we're not going to allow that. So if you don't like your HOA rules, you have to move out. And I've talked to a few of you who have moved out. Well, when the nation of Israel gets 10 commandments, they had known slavery for 400 years. So God gives Israel its first set of laws. I am the Lord your God. And since he is their God, they are his people. Did they have a choice in this? No. They did not have a choice. They were born into it. And since they were born into it, there are rules they have to abide with. Kind of sounds like the rules of a family, doesn't it? And that's exactly it. The Ten Commandments were the sign of the Israelites' relationship with God. And the commandments were an expression of God's love for the people. Now, this is 1,500 years before Jesus. And now that the Israelites are in relationship with God, they have to learn how to live under God's authority. Isaiah 49:6 says, I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Here and later, we discover that God's goal, in fact, now is to reach out to all nations and all people. God is thinking wider than the nation of Israel. God includes the whole world in His vision, all of humankind, that they might become part of His family. So it really shouldn't be a surprise to us when 1,500 years later, Jesus shows up and He preaches and He teaches and He includes the Gentiles, the non-Jews, in His ministry. And now we realize we can all be adopted into the family of God. We can all be in a relationship with God. John 1, 12 through 13. But to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. Most of you know that I went through some turmoil in my childhood. When my birth mother gave birth to me, I lived with certain rules. But when my birth mother gave me up and placed me in a foster home from ages 2 through 6, I had to learn to live by a different set of rules. By the way, this is a photo of me when I was about that age. But in the foster home, I did not feel like I belonged to anybody. I did not feel like I was in relationship with anyone. I was a child with no identity, no family, no long-lasting relationships. When I was adopted at the age of 6, I was given another set of rules. Yes, that rule, no riding dirt bikes. But those rules were a sign of my relationship with my family. And I was thrilled to have those rules, well, most times, with my family. Because it meant that I was a member of a loving family. It defined who I am. It laid out my identity. It allowed me to have a mother and father, to have a family, to belong, to love, and to be loved. Do you have any idea what a difference that makes? What an impact that had on my life? It was profound. The question is, will you come home to God, to God's love? Will we recognize that we are adopted children of God, which means that we are part of a loving family of God, which means that we know we should have no other gods before Him? It means we live with the rules that guide us in our relationship with God and with others. It means we get to call God Abba, Daddy, and that we know that we belong and that we are loved. Amen.